Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Chaf Tes. We are holding on daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis. We're at the two dots on the bottom of Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'miskavein chayiv. What the entire daf is essentially going to be about is a person left something in a Rosh Hasharabim because he dropped something, something tripped, something fell, something broke, and then someone else got damaged by that item. So the Mishnah had already discussed some of the details of this, and we're going to try to understand the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda made some sort of distinction between someone who's miskavein and not miskavein. The Gemara is going to have to figure out what those words even mean. Miskavein to do what? Having kavana for what? So that's essentially what the entire daf is going to be about, and God willing, we'll try to get to the Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph. Let's get cracking. Says the Mishnah, the Gemara rather, that the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Yehuda Amar b'miskavein chayiv. The Rabbi Yehuda said, if the person who had dropped something in the Rosh Hasharabim and it broke and it was and someone else came and slipped or tripped on it, then you're going to be chayiv. So if he had kavana, then you're going to be chayiv. Hechi dami miskavein. What does it mean that he had kavana? Amar Rabba b'miskavein la'rida l'mata mikseifo. It means that he intended to lower it below his shoulder, and then as he was lowering it, he dropped it. That's what it means b'miskavein. Says Tosfos over here, Rabba lo b'iluk b'miskavein lishbar. He didn't want to say that it meant that he had kavana to break it. K'demuki la'abaye l'kamal, like we're going to see Abaye holds later on. Mishum d'nishbar kado d'kamar tanakama mashbar d'nishbar me'elav. Because the lashon of the tanakama in the Mishnah was nishbara kado, that it broke. It broke implies that it happened on its own. And it's Allah ka'asi Rabbi Yehuda l'chalik bin miskavin l'shein miskavin. It's on that case that Rabbi Yehuda distinguishes between miskavin and ein miskavin. So it sounds like the whole case is that it broke on its own. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, wait, mechald mechayvra meira filu nifshara. Does that mean that even if it was a complete ones, it just completely was not the guy's fault, that Rabbi Meir, who's the Tanakama, Stam Mishnah's Rabbi Meir, the Tanakama, would say you're chayiv even in that case? Meaning if it's only Rabbi Yehuda who says that when you're not miskavein, that it's going to, that you're going to be potter, sounds like according to Rabbi Meir, even when you're not miskavein, even when it's an ones, you're going to be chayiv. Amalei, so he said, yeah, in mechayiv hayu Rabbi Meir afilu azna biyado. Rabbi Meir would say that you're chayiv according to Rabba, even if you're holding a kli by its handle, and somehow the kli just broke right off its handle, and you're left carrying the handle. Can you imagine an ones greater than that? That's the ultimate ones. And nevertheless, you're still going to be chayiv. Frek the Gemara, amai. Why would you be chayiv? Onesu. V'ones rachmana patre. Isn't it, after all, an ones? And don't we say, ones rachmana patre, that when you do something that's an ones, the Torah patters you from any culpability or liability for it? Tichziv ulinara lo sasadavar. And the source of that concept is when the Torah talks about Rachmana Litzlan, a girl gets raped, so even though she had a bia asura, we don't blame her, she doesn't get punished for that because it was a complete ones. So why should a guy be chayiv for nizakin that were created as a result of an ones? How could Rabba claim that that's shitas Rabbi Meir? V'chitema, unless you say, no, you know when we say ones rachmana patre, hani milili and katala, that's when it comes to killing someone. Avlinu nizakin, but when it comes to damages, chayiv, then even when it's ba'ones, you're going to be chayiv. But we know that that's not true either, because Vatanya, we learned in a brisa, nishpura kado velo silko, nafal gemala velo hamido. If someone's jug broke and he didn't remove it, he didn't clean it up, his camel fell down and he didn't pick him up, Rabbi Meir mechayev bezekon. Rabbi Meir says you're going to be chayev for the damage that they do. V'cham omrim pater midine adam v'chayev bedine shamayim. And Rabbi Meir says that you're pater midine adam, but you're still going to be chayev midine shamayim, meaning that really you should pay back. Umodim chacham l'Rabbi Meir, and the chacham agreed to Rabbi Meir. Ba'avnu sakino maso sheinichon brosh gagol v'naflu baruch metzuyah v'eziku shu chayiv. That if you left something dangerous on top of a roof, and then a regular breeze came by and blew it off the roof and it damaged somebody, everyone's going to agree in that case that you're chayiv. Not only that, on the opposite extreme, in a case of real ones, that if you put some jugs on the roof just to dry them, and a hurricane came and blew them down, and they damaged you, pater, everyone's going to agree you're pater in that case, because it's ones. So you know what you see from here? That even when it comes to paying for nezikin, you're putter when it's an ones. You don't have to pay for situations of ones. So don't tell me that the whole concept of ones rachman upatre is only about chiyuve misa, but when it comes to chiyuve mamon, there's no such concept of ones rachman upatre, and that you're going to be chayiv in the case of ones. We know that that's not the case, even within this very machlokas. The Braisa very clearly states that if it's a real ones, everyone agrees you're pater. And if it's a real posheya that you left it on the roof and it blew off of the breeze, everyone agrees you're chayiv. The machlokas is specifically for some reason, in our case, whatever this case is, that you drop something or the camel falls in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and there's still some sort of machlokas, whether you're chayiv or pater. But it must not be a case of ones, because if it was a case of ones, of course you'd be pater. So before we get into what the alternative pshat might be, what else might be the pshat over here, a couple of points over here. Tosos in Dibur Maskel Va'ones points out that even though, meaning the Gemara had said, how could it be that he's chayiv, he's in ones? Tosos says, but wait a second, an Adam HaMazik is chayiv bein ba'ones, bein baratzon, bein b'mezid, bein b'sho, right? Adam HaMazik is always going to be chayiv. That's what we learn in Petzatachas Patza. So nevertheless, Tosos says, no, if it's an ones gomur, then the Adam HaMazik is Patza. And this is something we've discussed a few times already, based on that Yerushalmi about a guy who goes to sleep, and then while he's sleeping, they stick a fragile kli right next to him, and he rolls over and breaks it. He's potter. I thought a guy, an Adam HaMazik is chayiv no matter what. No, that's an ones gomer. An ones gomer, an Adam HaMazik is going to be potter. So there is a discussion. What exactly does Tosos mean? Does Tosos hold that even though the damage was done after it had fallen, it's still called an Adam HaMazik? And Tosos holds that a person who makes a bar ba'ones is chayiv like an Adam HaMazik, is still considered an Adam HaMazik, even though the way the damage is done is really just by a bar being there, by an item being left there. Or does Tosos mean to say that the Mishnah is talking about a case where damaged b'shas nefila mamish, where at the time that it fell is when the damage happened, and that's why we're considering him an Adam HaMazik? But had he made a bar, even if he made a bar ba'ones, he'd be potter, and it would not be considered an Adam HaMazik. So that's a discussion in what the Kavana of Tosos is over here. Just broadly speaking, in general, this whole concept of Lunar L'Sasadav, this whole concept of Anus Rachmana Patre, there's a famous discussion Rabbi Chanan has in Kovitz Shiurim. Do we assume that it's not a Maisa Avera at all? I mean, he has this chakira. Is it a Maisa Avera, but you're just going to be potter, or is it not even a Maisa Avera? And he brings a raya from the Rambam. The Rambam writes that if someone is dying and he's allowed to have a refuah from any Yisr in the Torah, because Sakranos Nefasho, so whatever it is, so you need to give him Basa B'chalav in order to make him better, you could do that. Whatever Avera in the Torah you want to violate to make him better is fine, except for the big three. Except for Avot Zogilar HaShulchan is done. If he gets that refuah from Atzei Asheira, then Bezin's gonna punish him. So Ruchan said, it's an onus. So he says, no, onus is not an avera, but b'makom choli, he did an avera b'ratzon, and that's considered a maisa avera. The nafkamina is whether it's a maisa avera or not a maisa avera. Reverse of Engel brings in Besa Otsar when it comes to mitzvah baba avera, when it comes to maisa Shabbos. So there could be significant nafkamina, just broadly speaking, whether when one does something ba'ones, the pshat is that it's not even a maisa avera, or that it's a maisa avera, it just doesn't have any punishment. Okay, let's see the Gemara further now. Ella Amar Abaye. So rather, Abaye says what's actually going on in the Machlokas in our Mishnah is Bitarti Pligi. They're arguing about two separate issues: Pligi Bishas Nefila, uPligi LaAcher Nefila. They're arguing about damage that's done while the item is falling, and damage that was done by the item after it had already fallen. Pligi b'shas nefila b'nitgal posheya. At the shas nefila, they're arguing about the fact that your trip is considered that you're posheya. Mar sover nitkal posheahu, umar sover nitkal lav posheahu. That if you hold that you're going to be chayiv, like the Tanakama, that's because you're considered a poshea for tripping. You shouldn't have tripped, you should watch where you're going. So, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say that no, tripping is not a poshea, and therefore you're going to be pater. And they also pligi la'achar nefila. They also argue in a case where the damage was done after the item had fallen out of your hands. B'mafgir nezakov. If a person had dropped something and then he was mafgir it. Marasavar mafgir nezakov chayiv, marasavar pater. And that's machlokas. Are you chayiv or pater if the item that you dropped, you were subsequently mafgir, and after you made it hafgir, that's when it did its damage. So, says the Gemara, umi mai. How do I know that they're arguing on two separate issues over here? Well, midiktani tarti, because it actually gave two cases. It said, huchlak echa b'mayim, o shalaka b'charasas. The Mishnah, when it described the case, said, you dropped the jug, and then what happened? Either someone slipped on the water, or they somehow got hurt by the broken shards. So, hainu hach, why do you have to give two examples? It's the same issue, apparently. No, elalav halchiv ha'amara, so it must be saying that they're not the same issue, that they are two separate examples. Huk'chlak echa b'mayim is b'shas nefila, o shalaka b'charasis, li'achar nefila, that slipping on the water happens at that very moment, getting hurt by the broken shards, that happens later on. So Abaye says, in disagreement with Rabbah, the way to understand our Mishnah is not that there's a machlokes or mei rabbi Yehuda about a case of ones. There's no machlokes or mei rabbi Yehuda about a case of ones. Everyone would agree if it's ones, you're potter, and everyone would agree that if you're posheya, you're chayiv. There's a double machlokes or mei rabbi Yehuda. One machlokes is, do we consider tripping to be a posheya? And the other machlokes is an item that you dropped and were subsequently mafkir still considered your bar for which you're going to be chayiv? Umidimas nisan betarti. And if you have a double machlokas in our Mishnah, Braisa nami betarti. It must be that there's a double machlokas in the Braisa as well. Bishla mukado mishkachasla o bishas nefila o la'achar nefila. I understand that when you're carrying a jug, that can damage either at the shas nefila, and they could have a machlokas when you trip and you drop it, whether that's considered posheya at the shas nefila, and you could also have a machlokas if you're mafkered afterwards, la'achar nefila. El gemalo, but when it comes to the camel tripping is not your negligence for sure. That's just a camel tripping. So bishla liachar nefila mishkachasla. The machlokas about liachar nefila makes sense with the camel. Camel fell down and you just decided instead of picking it up, you were going to leave it there and be mafkir. Okay, so that you could have the mafkir nevlaso. It fell down and it died, so it's a nevela now. So you're like, I'm not schlepping a dead camel. I'm just mafkir it. So that you can understand that there's a machlokas. El bishas nefila hechim mishkachasla. But what's the case of a camel, bishas nefila, where it's damaging bishas nefila, meaning the whole case where there's supposed to be a machlokas about shas nefila is a case where you trip, and the machlokas is, are you considered posheya for having tripped? But with a camel falling and dying, how can you say that its falling is your pshia? The animal tripped, it happens. Says Gemara, no, Amra Vach, Kagon da Avra Bimaya, Derech, Shar Asa Dinahara, that you brought the camel through the water by a certain part of the river where it was much more likely to fall. As Rashi points out, Shar Asa Dinahara Shegadal Anar V'chisa Es Ein HaDerech, that the river overflowed and you can't see the road, and therefore you can't see what sort of stumbling blocks are on the road. Uposheahu Bekach, and on that level the guy is a posheah. Shilu Haya Derech Megula Lo Nitkal Gemalo, because if the road would have been exposed, if it would have been visible, then the camel never would have tripped in the first place. The fact that the road was covered up, that's why the camel tripped. So affect the Gemara, well, wait a second, that doesn't solve the problem. We're trying to find a case where reasonable minds can disagree whether you're going to be chayiv or not. If you brought a camel on a road where it was very likely to trip, and you had other options of how to bring him, then of course you're going to be chayiv. That's the very definition of negligence. If there's another way you could have brought him, you're negligent. If there's no other road you could have brought him on, then honestly, then it's absolutely not your fault. How else are you supposed to get him where he's supposed to go? The only road that was there was covered in water. So the reasonable minds can't disagree about that case. So what's a case of a camel tripping, damaging b'shas nefila, and reasonable minds, tanoim, are going to have a machlokas, whether you're chayev or not? El mishkachas la te'it kil v'it kila be'gemala. No, you know what the case is? Not that the camel stam tripped. The guy tripped. And then the camel tripped over its owner. Meaning suddenly the guy, as he's leaving the camel, falls on the floor, and the camel, without time to react, trips over its owner. So really, the potential pshia is in the owner tripping in the first place. His tripping is the possible negligence. Good. So says the Gemara, Mafkir Nezakav. Actually, before we even move on to that, let's move. Mafkir Nezakav, my miskavim ika. In the case of being Mafkir, your item that you left out in the Rosh Hashanah, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says if you're miskavim, you're going to be chayiv? What does it mean, miskavim? Rabbi Yosef, the miskavim lezakos b'charaseha, v'chein am Rav Ashi, the miskavim lezakos b'charaseha. Miskavim means that you weren't mafkirin, that you intend to pick it up again, that you intend to pick up the broken pieces. So as long as you still intend to pick up the broken pieces, you intend to take them back for yourself, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to be chayiv. But Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're pater if you never intend to pick up the broken pieces, because if you're mafkir your bar, you're going to be pater. So the way it turns out is, according to Rabbi Meir, when you drop a jug in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and then someone else trips on it afterwards, even though you were mafkir it, no matter what, whether you're mafkir or not, you're always going to be chayiv. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you were mafkir it, you're going to be pater, but if you were not mafkir it, if you intend to pick it up, that's when you're going to be chayiv. So that's the machlok is about, between Rabbi Yehuda, about doing damage later on. Now Tosfos just has an interesting point over here. When the Gemara had said, midmasnisin bitarti b'raisa nami bitarti, that from the fact that in our Mishnah, there's a double machlokas, the case of the b'raisa must also be a double machlokas, fractosos, vimtomim b'raisa nami yeshlochiach to bitarti pligi. Forget about the fact that there's a double expression in the Mishnah, and that's how we know that they're arguing about two different cases. From the Brace itself, you can see that they're arguing about two different cases. Tamidiktani velo silka velo hemida. The Brace says, your camel fell, and what did you do? You lo silka and lo hemida. You didn't remove it, nor did you stand it up. So you see that this is clearly talking about where there was a machlokas even after the mefila. And also, if it was only talking about b'shas nefila, why would the Rabbanan say you're chayiv b'dinei shamayim? It's an onus. Why would you be chayiv b'dinei shamayim? U'b'shas nefila nami pligi midinak and modem chacham bavno sekinem asor delo matzikai ela ashas nefila. And by shas nefila there has to be a machlokas, because the case that we compare it to bavno sekinem asor has to be a shas nefila, because if it's la'achar nefila and you're mafkir nizak, you're nezak. It wouldn't work even if we said that you were mafkir yavna sakinu masal. Di modem bruch mitzuyu dechayiv v'sheim depater im kein lo pligi klal. Because if everyone agrees that falls with the ruch mitzuyu, you're going to be chayiv. Falls with the neiner mitzuyu, you're going to be pater. So there's no machlokas at all. So basically, from the brisa itself, you see that there are two cases. You don't need to say, oh, the Mishnah implies that they're arguing on two different levels. And if the Mishnah implies that, then the brisa also must be arguing at two different levels. You see it in the Braisa itself. It says Tosu Yeshlomer Dimi Braisa Lomati Lameda Klav. Dikal Meimwer, the Pligi Bishas Nafila, La Achra Nafila, Ubechad Taimak, the Precious Lel. Vahadanak Bahai Modim Avno, Ubahai Modim Kankanim, Urcha de Milsenaka. They know the Makn Vavno and Tipu Bruch Matsuya. Says Tosu from the Braisa, you can't be Medayak at all. Because it could be that argue about Bishas Nafila and La Achra Nafila. but it's all the same issue. It's not about two separate machlokos, about Shas Nefila being whether Nitkal is Poshea, and the Acher Nefila being about being Mafkir Nechasim. It's only from the Mishnah that we see that there are two separate machlokos, by Shas Nefila and Liachar Nefila. Says the Gemara Vayter now, Rabbi Lazar Amar B'Shas Nefila Machlokas. Rabbi Lazar says, no, the whole Machlokas Tanaim is only if the damage is B'Shas Nefila. Av Liachar Nefila, but if after it fell, someone tripped over it, my, what would the din be? Divrei HaKol Pater. Everyone would say that you're Pater in that case. Says Gemara, how could you possibly say that? Vayikar Rabbi Meir D'Mechayiv. Rabbi Meir said in our Mishnah that you're Chayiv. No, Elamai, Divrei HaKol Chayiv. It must be enough that if it's going to be Liachar Nefila, everyone's going to agree that you're Chayiv. Now, how could you say that? V'lo Ikar Rabbanu D'Patri. The Rabbanu say explicitly that you're Pater. Elamai, B'Shas Nefila. You know what Rabbi Lazar meant when he said that the Machlokas is B'Shas Nefila? He meant Af B'Shas Nefila. That the Machlokas is both B'Shas Nefila and Liachar Nefila. That it's, the Machlokas is even B'Shas Nefila. The Kamash Malan Kedah Abaye. And all he's really telling us is that we hold like Abaye, meaning that just like Abaye had said on the sixth line of this page, that Petarti Pligi, so Rabbi Lazar is saying, I agree. I think Petarti Pligi as well. Rabbi Yochanan says, Liachar Nefila Machlokas. The whole Machlokas is only if it damages Laachar Nefila. Aval B'Shas Nefila Mai. What would the din be if it damages B'Shas Nefila? Divrei HaKol Potter. Everyone's going to agree it's Potter. But wait a second. Vamidkam Rabbi Yochanan Lekaman. Lo Teim Masnisra Meir Yidamar Nitko Boshehu. Mechad Rabbi Meir Mechayev. From the fact that Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, no, don't attribute our Mishnah to a mayor who says that if someone trips, he's negligent, and therefore he's chayiv for whatever damages he does as he's tripping. So don't you see that Rabbi Yochanan understands that Rabbi Meir says you're chayiv even b'shas nefila? So how can Rabbi Yochanan come along now and tell us that the whole machlokas is only Liachar Nefila, but B'Shas Nefila, everyone agrees that you're Pater. No, you yourself, Rabbi Yochanan, say that Rabbi Meir holds that you're Chayiv even B'Shas Nefila. Elamai, Divrei HaKol Chayiv. So what, does Rabbi Yochanan mean to say that B'Shas Nefila, everyone agrees that you're Chayiv? But Vamidkam Rabbi Yochanan Kaman Lo Tema Masnis Rameir Damar Nitkal Poshehu L'chal D'Patri Rabbanan. But from that very same statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, don't say the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is the guy that holds that B'Shas Nefila Yerchayiv. Sounds like Rabbi Yochanan understands the Rabbanan to disagree, and that the Rabbanan hold B'Shas Nefila your potter. So how could Rabbi Yochanan tell me over here that B'Shas Nefila there's no machlokas, when Rabbi Yochanan is the one that crystallizes that machlokas and that tells us that Rabbi Meir holds that B'Shas Nefila your chayiv and the Rabbanan hold B'Shas Nefila your potter? So it's very clear Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's a machlokas B'Shas Nefila. Elahak mashmalan. Now this is what he's teaching me. The mafkir nezak of dahacha. What Rabbi Yochanan is really trying to tell us is that in our case of being mafgir, your dropped item, and it damages Liachar Nefila, that's where the Rabbanan are going to say that you're potter because you're an ones. Aval mafgir nizak of the alma. But if stam, you just leave something out in Rosh Hashanah and are mafgir it, mechayvi. For that, you're going to be chayiv. So very different chiddush. Nothing to do about whether there's a machlokas b'shas nefila. Now, of course, there's a machlokas b'shas nefila. What Rabbi Yochanan is trying to say is the machlokas about la'achar nefila, that if you were mafkir in the item that you are dropped, whether you're chayiv or not, is only because your initial act of dropping it might have been considered an ones. But if you just left something out in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and someone tripped over it, then even if you were mafkir it, then everyone's going to agree that you're chayiv. Itmar, mafkir nezakov, Rabbi Yochanan Blas, chadam or chayiv, chadam or pater. If you're mafkir, you're an item that you left out in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Blas, but we don't know who says what. One of them says you're chayiv, one of them says you're pater. Leima, manda mechayiv krameir, manda pater krabanam. It sounds like they're arguing in the same exact machlokas that we had in the Mishnah. That the one that says that you're chayiv holds like Rabbi Meir, that la'achar nefila, if you're mafkir, the item that you dropped, and then it does damage, la'achar nefila, that's Rabbi Meir that says you're going to be chayiv, and the chum say that you're going to be potter. So it's exactly the same machlokas. Says Gemara, no, it's not the same machlokas. Alib de Rameir kuliam lo pligi. Everyone knows that Rameir says you're going to be chayiv, and both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar agree that Rameir would say you're going to be chayiv. Ki pligi alib de Rabbanan. Over here, they're arguing within shitas Rabbanan. Man de potter, the one that says that you're potter, ki Rabbanan. That's directly like the Rabbanan who says that you're potter. And the one that says that you're going to be chayiv, Amrlach would tell you, Anoda ami afilu Rabbanan, that even the Rabbanan will agree in certain cases where you're mafkir something that you left in Rosh Hashanah, that you're going to be chayiv. Because adkan lo patri Rabbanan ela b'mafkir nezaka of dahacha mishum da'anasu. The Rabbanan only say you're patri the exact distinction we just mentioned before. The Rabbanan only say you're patri if you dropped the item ba'ones, and then someone got it, and then you were mafkir it, and someone got hurt from it. So that's where the Rabbanan say you're patri. Avon mafkir nezaka of the alma mechayvi. But if it wasn't an onus, you just left something out of the Rosh Hashanah, and then you were mafkir it, and someone trips on it, the Rabbanan are going to be mode in that case that you're going to be chayiv. So that's what one of these Amoraim claims, that the Rabbanan's patur is not an all-out patur. Whenever you're mafkir something in Rosh Hashanah, you're automatically patur. No, it's only if it started with an onus, then you're going to be patur when you're mafkir something in Rosh Hashanah. But if it started with a shia, just leaving it out, then you're going to, even the Rabbanan would say that you're going to be chayiv. So who's the one that makes that distinction? Says Gemara Tistayim to Rabbi Elazar, who damar mechayiv. That's Rabbi Elazar who says that you're chayiv. Damar Rabbi Elazar Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Shnei Dvarim Eino Bereshuso Shel Adam, Va'asana Kasav Kilu Hein Bereshuso. Because there are two things that are not really yours, but the Torah makes it as if it's yours for chiyuvim. Ve'elu Hein, and they are Bar Bereshus Harabim, the Chametz Mishei Shel Sulemaila. A bar that's not your, you go and you dig a hole right in the middle of Broadway, right in the middle of Peninsula Boulevard, you don't now own that piece of Broadway. It's not yours. But the Torah makes you chayiv in the damage that it does, ki'ilu, it was yours. And also, Chametz Mishei Shel Sulemaila, after 6 hours of the day, on Erev Pesach, your Chametz is no longer yours, but nevertheless, you're going to be chayiv for that Chametz. So tistayim. So it must be that's Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar says that you're going to be chayiv because the Torah is extra strict with you leaving things out in Rosh Hashanah, even though you're mafkir them and you claim they're not yours anymore, the Torah says, yes, they are. You have to pay for them. So that's Reb Lazar. Reb Yochanan, however, apparently would disagree and would say, no, if I'm mafkir it, I'm mafkir it, so it's not mine anymore. Now, just a couple of points over here. Mishei Shos Lamaila says Rashi, Ein Chametz Bereshuso, Deisei Aser Ba'anah, Vasoh Kasav Kilu Bereshuso Lavar, Lav Bali Rabbi Matze. It's no longer in your Reshus, but it's still considered like it's yours to violate Bali Rabbi Matze. That's a critical line that Rashi says, that one is already in violation of Bali Rabbi Matze from Shesha Osulamayla. That's Rashi Lishitaso from Seches Psachim. The Ravid disagrees. The Pasuk says Shivas Yamin. So Bali Rabbi Matze is only going to be when Pesach actually starts. It's not going to be right then and there at the Vav Sha'us mark of Erev Pesach. Also, Tosos in Maseches Moikatan, Daf Gimel and Beis, writes that any time a hechrech, a proof that we're trying to bring, is mefurash, is explicit, the Gemara doesn't say tistayim. Meaning, whenever the Gemara tries to bring a proof, but it's so explicit, the Gemara wants to say, oh, this Tana holds like this guy, and it's mamish explicit, we don't use the word tistayim. Tistayim implies that it's an implication, but it's not explicit. And the Yavin Shmua in Shar Beis, Perek Aleph, points out that this whole klal is only when that Amora says the Meimra that he on his own and not in the name of someone else. So it's Mukhrach that he's not cholik on it, but Makom that he says a Meimra from that we're trying to prove in the name of someone else, so that's where we need to say Tistayim, to let us know. Don't think that because he's saying it in the name of someone else, it's he's just quoting it, but he doesn't hold that way. So that's why we have to say Tistayim to show that he holds that way as well. And says Yom Shmua, how do I know that? From our sugya. Tistayim derablazeru, even though it's mefurish. So why does he have to say the word Tistayim? Because since he's saying it in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, one might have thought, yeah, he's saying it in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, but the Leilo Sirulei, he himself doesn't hold that way. That's why we need to use the word testayim, even though it's a mefurish araya. Normally a mefurish araya, you wouldn't need to use the word testayim. So that's just a methodological point that Tosfos Moed Katan teaches us how to use the word testayim, but the Eben Shmuel just qualifies that a little bit further. Another point, we said that there are only two things in the world that you don't own, but the Torah makes it like it's yours. Ask the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia in Psachim Vavim Beis, where this exact line of Gemara appears. Why doesn't the Gemara also say that Eish is something that you don't own, and nevertheless you're going to be chayav for its damages? So they suggest that only a bar and chametz do we find that the Torah considers it like it's yours. The Torah says bal habar has to pay. It sounds like you are the owner. But chametz says lo yirai l'cha, that it's shalcha yatorah, that it's yours, it's considered yours. By Eish, we do know that you're chayav for the Eish that you damage with, but we don't find anywhere that the Torah calls it your fire. So it could be that the reason you're chayiv is not because you're considered the bailam of the Eish, it's just midin mavir sabeira, because you violated lighting something on fire. So that's why it doesn't mention Eish. They also ask, why doesn't it mention Maaser Sheni? According to our mayor, the Maaser Sheni is mam gavohu, so the Torah is mechayiv you to bring it to Yerushalayim, so why doesn't it mention Maaser Sheni? Okay, so that's interesting. Maybe you could argue that the obligation to bring it to Yerushalayim is not the kind of chiyuv we're talking about, because that's not a loss, that's just a ritual obligation, that it's within a certain boundary that you have to eat the Maaser Sheni. Okay, says the Gemara Vaitu, Ramiyam Rav Lazar Hachi, does Rav Lazar really hold this way, that when you leave something in Rosh Hashanah, even if you're mafkir it afterwards, that you're going to be chayiv? V'amar Rav Lazar Ibcha, didn't Rav Lazar tell us the exact opposite? Titnan ha'hofich es ha'galal b'Rosh Hashanah, if someone is moving dung around in Rosh Hashanah, v'huzak b'hen achir, and then someone else got hurt by it, chayiv b'nizko, the guy who moved it is going to be chayiv. V'amar Rav Lazar, Rav Lazar says, lo shonu l'shin eskavim l'zakos b'hen. That's only if you try to make a kinyan on it. Avlon eskavim l'zakos. If you never intended to make a kinyan on it, then you're potter. So what do you see from there? I'm a mafkir nezakov potter. That if you're mafkir, the thing that you did damage with, even though you're the one that left something right out there in the Rosh Hashanah, and you were moving it around and you moved it to a spot where someone got hurt from it, you're going to be potter because it was never yours. So you see that Rav Lazar holds that if it's not yours, you're potter. Answers Gemara, no. Amar Rav Adbarav Sheikh Zira Lemakoma. The case is you put it back in its original spot. You didn't bring it to a new spot where someone got hurt. So the original guy who put it out there, he's the one that's going to be chayiv. Amar Ravina, Mashal de Ravad Barav, Lamad Abdoma. You know what this is like? Lemotse Bar Megula. Imagine a guy finds an exposed bar in Rosh Hashanah, Vikiso. So he puts a manhole cover on it. He covers it up with something. Then the Chazar Vigilahu. Then he comes and he takes off the item that he used to cover it. So he's not the one that dug the bar, but he's the one that covered it and then uncovered it. So he left it exactly how he found it. Who's going to be chayiv when something falls into that bar or someone falls into that bar? The person who dug the bar is going to be chayiv, not the guy who was kind enough to cover it up for some period of time. So that's exactly what Rav Adbarava is saying, that you move the dung around, but you move it right back to where it started, to where it belongs, you're going to be potter, because the guy who originally put it out there should be the one who's chayiv. How can you compare those two cases? The case of moving the dung around and putting it back, and the case of the manhole cover. When you cover up the bar, you didn't completely nullify the action of the person who dug the bar. But over here, when you move the dung away, you've completely nullified the action of the person who had originally put it in spot A. By moving it to spot B, you have now made spot A completely safe. When you cover up a bar, the bar is still there underneath the cover. So you have not completely rid the Rosh Hashanah of the bar. You know, if you really want a basis for comparison, the moving the dung case should be more comparable to the following. Halo dami alamotzi bar megula vitmama. You find a bar that's exposed and then you mamish fill it in. V'chazar v'chafra. And then you go and you redig it. distalkaluhu maisa rishon v'kaimila b'rishuso, where now the initial maisa that you had done is that the first guy had done by digging that bar is gone, and it stays in his rishus. So ela marvashi kishav kalipachas mishlosha. Now the case must be that when he moved it around, he lifted it less than 3 tefachim off the ground, and that's why he's going to be pater in that case, but not because of a general principle that whenever you're mafkir nechassim, you're going to be pater. A couple of things over here. First of all, the Rambam paskins in this kemamun perikid beis alach vav that if someone finds a bar and covers it up and then uncovers it, the bala bar is chayiv and the megale is pater. But if he closes it up, completely fills it with dirt, and then he takes out that dirt, ha'achron chayiv, the last guy is going to be chayiv. Says the Ravid, the bala bar is chayiv only if he had the chance to know that someone opened up the enclosure. Meaning, in that first case, where someone closed it up and then uncovered it, the balabar is, yes, he's going to be chayiv, but what, imagine this. I go into Rosh Hashanah, I dig a bar on Sunday, right? And then on Monday, I'm feeling badly about it. I know that someone might get hurt from it. So I take a walk on Monday, and I see that the bar is covered. So I figure, oh, okay, it's safe now. There's nothing that I have to do. And then someone else comes right after I leave and uncovers it. So if I had no time to react, I had no time to refill it, so why should I be at fault, says the Ravid. I'm only going to be chayiv if there was enough time after the fellow uncovered it for me to come back and cover it. So that's a machlokas Rambam and the Ravid. Another important ha'ar over here. The Gemara's maskana is that kashahavcha lepachos mishlosha, says machlokas rishonim, when you're doing a kinyan akbah, do you need to lift something 3 tefachim off the ground, or is it enough to lift it 1 tefach off the ground? Rashi over here writes, you need to lift it 3 tefachim off the ground. Only then can you call it that you lifted it off the ground. Less than that, there's a din called lavud. Anything within 3 tefachim of the ground is considered as if it's still on the ground. But Rabbeinu Tam in Maseches Kiddushin Chavav Amral holds that you can be kona something even if you're only magbia a single tefach. And it brings and the Rashba brings a raya to Rabbeinu Tam from Ravashi, who says that kishahafach lepachos mishlosha. And nevertheless, what does the Brisa say? Kishahafach lepachos mishlosha. But the Brisa had said imiskavin liknos kona, that if you had intention to be kona, you could have been kona. So it sounds like even if you didn't lift the 3 tefachim off the ground, you could be kona. Now Rashi says no. When you're miskavin liknos, you're kona because habata behefker is kona. To be kona from hefker, you don't need an actual kinyan ba. You could just look at something from hefker and actually be kona something from hefker. So that's another fundamental machlokas rishonim that emerges from this sugya. Let's go weiter. Umay duchi the rabbis are looking to shav chal bachs migimel. The time of the chinas kavin zakus ba hayinas kavin zakus ba lo. Why did he have to say that the case is that it was you moved it less than 3 tefachim, and the only reason you're gonna be chayiv is because you intend to be kona it. But if you didn't intend to be kona it, then you wouldn't be chayiv. Why don't you just say look malamad migimel that you lifted it more than 3 tefachim off the ground, and that's why it says that you're chayiv. V'alvgav dolus kavin zakus ba chayiv, that even you move it more than 3 tefachim, and therefore regardless you're going to be chayiv, whether you have kavanah or not. So Marava Mesnisin Kashisa, he thought that it sounded from the Braisa that you didn't lift it 3 tefachim. It wasn't that he was just working with logic, he was working with the wording of the Braisa. From the words of the Braisa, it didn't sound like you lifted it 3 tefachim. Ma'iriya hafach, listeni higbia. Why does it say hafach? It should have said higbia. Because hafach is the appropriate term to use when you're talking about something that's less than 3 tefachim off the ground. That's why he uses the word hafach. So you see, it's from the words of the Braisa itself that he got the idea that it's that he did not lift it 3 tefachim off the ground. Now the Gemara is going to ask, and the fact that Rav says that someone is pater when he's mafkir is the item that did damage is nizakav. So says the Gemara, umidir Rabbi Elazar amar chayiv. Once Rabbi Elazar says that if you're mafkir, you're nizikim, you're going to be chayiv, sounds like Rabbi Yochanan amar pater. That Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says pater. But Frakti Gemara, really? Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan hold that if you take an item and just put it in Rosh Hashanah and are mafkir it, that you're going to be putter? Meaning it's one thing in the case of our Mishnah where you drop it ba'ones and then you leave it, that you're mafkir it and you leave it there. That's one. But you just put an item in Rosh Hashanah, you're mafkir it, Rabbi Yochanan says you're going to be putter. Vatnan, we have a Mishnah later on, Daf Lamin, and tomorrow's Daf. Hamatznia Sakotzves Azachuchis, if a person hides a thorn or shards of glass in Rosh Hashanah, the Goder Gidra Bakotzim, where he builds a fence out of thorns. The Goder Shinafel Rosh Hashanah, where you have a fence that falls into Rosh Hashanah. Vuhuzak Behen Acher, and someone gets hurt by the thorns or by the stones. Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv Benisko for all the damage that you did. The Omer of Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan comments on that. Lo Shanu Ela B'mafriach, that's only if the thorns are sticking out into the Rosh Hashanah, and that's like digging a bar in the Rosh Hashanah. But if you put your fence further into your property so that the thorns don't actually go into the Rosh Hashanah, then pater. Then you're going to be pater from any damage that's done. So mitzamtzein my time a pater. Why are you pater if you build the fence within your own property? Lav misham davi lebar b'rishuso. Isn't it because that's considered a bar in your own rishus, which you're pater from? Mechal t'chiv debar b'rishus rabbu al mafkir zak of chayiv, which implies that any bar in Rosh Hashanah, whether it belongs to you or not, you're going to be chayiv for if you place that bar in the Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that when you put a bar in the Rosh Hashanah, I don't care that you're mafkir, if it's in the Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be chayiv, says the Gemara. Lo, no, you're reading it wrong. Really, Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that when you're mafkir the items that do damage, you're going to be potter. Mitzamtzein my time of potter, and you know why? In the case of mitzamtzein is also going to be potter when you build your fence into your property. Why the Torah potters you? Mishum di itmar Allah amravacha b'dravika l'vishen darkness shomayadim l'schakech aksolim. Because it's not normal for people walking by to rub against the walls on the side of the Rosh Hashanah and to get hurt. So a guy who did that and got damaged, that's mishuna, that's unusual, and that's why the owner of the fence is not going to have to pay. So says Gemara, I'll ask you weiter. Umiyom Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan hold that if you're mafkir in Nizakov in Rosh Hashanah, you're potter? V'am Rabbi Yochanan alach k'stam mishnah, but Rabbi Yochanan generally holds we pass him like a stam mishnah, utznan, and there's a stam mishnah daf nunam beis. Hachof v'bor Rosh Hashanah, the nafal l'toch ashor ha-chamor meis chayiv, that if you dig a bar in Rosh Hashanah and then ashor ha-chamor falls in it and dies, you're going to be chayiv. So shouldn't the same thing be if you put a takala out in the Rosh Hashanah, that you're going to be chayiv even if you're mafkirit? Eliyolam Rabbi Yochanan Amar chayiv. Ooh, so now we're switching it. We said there was this machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Lazar. One of them said chayiv, one of them said pater. We were sure that Rabbi Lazar is the one that said pater, and therefore that Rabbi Lazar is the one that said chayiv, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan must be the guy that says pater. Says Maro, let's flip it. Rabbi Yochanan holds that if you're mafkir in Nizakov in Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be chayiv. Umid Rabbi Yochanan Amar chayiv, Rabbi Lazar Amar pater. If Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says chayiv, must be Rabbi Lazar says you're pater. Frankly, Gemara, I v'amar Rabbi Lazar mishum Rabbi Shmuel, but didn't we just learn that Rabbi Lazar said in the name Rabbi Shmuel that there are two things that are not Rishus Shel Adam, but we count it as if they're in your Rishus, and one of them is a bar Rishus Rabim, so even if you're mafkir the bar is not yours at all, Rabbi Lazar still says you're going to be chayiv, so how could you say Rabbi Lazar holds pater? Says the Gemara, lo kasha, hadidei hadirabe. Big difference. Rabbi Lazar himself would say that you're going to be pater. When he said that there are two things that are not in your Rishus, but it's Asana because of Kiluim Rishus, so that's Rabbi Lazar quoting his Rebbe. That's Rabbi Lazar quoting Rabbi Yishmael. But he himself, in fact, disagrees with that. So it turns out that Rabbi Yochanan is really the one that says Chayiv. Rabbi Lazar is the one that says Pater when one is Mafkir, a bar that they had just left out there in the Rishus Rabbi. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Mishnah.